In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of all the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. There, ahead of them, went the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There are two Christmas stories in the Bible. Luke's story, which we heard before and normally hear, and the Matthew story. Luke tells his story among the poor and the lowly. Matthew sets his tale among the rich and powerful. According to Luke, Mary and Joseph are displaced in a peasant home with no available guest room, while Matthew speaks of a palace. For Luke, the first circle around a child includes shepherds, unnamed, socially insignificant, while Matthew gives a name, King Herod. And they point behind him to the chief priests of the Jerusalem temple, and over their shoulders to the scribes who guarded the scriptures of the nation, and then behind all of them, the unusual visitors from a far-off land who travel with wealth. The contrast between Luke and Matthew could not be greater. Each of these Christmas stories reveals a larger theme of the gospel writer. Luke speaks of Jesus as a prophet for the people. He comes to lift up those underfoot. He pays attention to those frequently overlooked. He speaks up on behalf of the last, the least, and the lost. Every day, he rescues the misfit toys and gives them a home. Jesus comes for all the people, especially the forgotten ones. Now, Matthew would agree with all of this, but he sees the coming of Jesus as a greater issue of authority. That's one of his favorite words, authority, or in Greek, exousia, authority. Jesus teaches with authority, unlike the Jerusalem scribes. He heals with authority, unlike the healers of his day. And at the end, he stands tall on the top of a mountain and declares, "All authority on heaven and earth have been given to me." So it's no wonder that those in power shake in their boots. King Herod is nervous. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, he doesn't have to be. He could easily ignore these strange stargazers who knock at the gate. They've been chasing a star with the vaguest of directions. These odd wise men don't even know where they're going. They're not Jews. They're not looking for a Messiah. They're looking for a king. And Herod is the king. He could brush off the whole business, snatch their gold, and send them back to Persia. But Herod doesn't do that. He may have a crown, but he is not the king. He may live in the palace, but he doesn't rule over much. He has subjects to boss around, to lick his boots, but he has no real power over them. And the historical record of Herod, King Herod, is clear. He was, in short, a terrible human being. Arrogant and vain, unfaithful to multiple wives, demanding loyalty but never showing loyalty, suspicious to a fault. Matthew says he may be the king, but he's not really the king. And in the pit of his stomach, Herod the king knows this. Pushed to extremity, he has to call in the Bible scholars and ask, well, where is the Messiah to be born? Meanwhile, wise men from the east have been asking, where's the king, the newborn king, the real king? Where is the one who rightfully deserves our hearts? Now, that's the big question in the Gospel of Matthew. Where's the true king? Christmas is when that question comes into focus. Later on, after Jesus is baptized, he faces three temptations, and they're all about power and authority. Does he have the power to feed the hungry by using magic tricks? Does he have the authority to command angels to catch him when he jumps? And then the big question for Matthew, which he puts third in the place of priority, does Jesus have the power to claim all nations without first giving himself in self-sacrificial love? Well, Jesus sees each temptation for what it is and refuses, casts it aside. He refuses to misuse his power to only benefit himself. You see, that's what most kings of the world never get around to understanding. The truly powerful ruler is the one who gives himself away for the benefit of all. The king who comes from heaven gives and never grabs. He offers and refuses to plunder. He rules with justice, says the prophet. He multiplies the nation. He increases the joy. He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the prophet Isaiah says about this, his authority will grow continually. According to the Gospel of Matthew, the Christmas question is this. Whose world is this? Does this world belong to King Herod and all his counterfeit imitators? Or does it belong to King Jesus? This is an either-or question, not a both-and. We can't have it both ways. And the good news, the Christmas good news, is that the world belongs to Jesus alone. His way is the way to life. His authority is with the power of love. Years later, when he stands again on the mountain, he will teach and say, be reconciled to one another rather than live in anger and insult. Pursue the truth and never make vain promises. Give abundantly and take initiative when others demand from you. Love all people. It does say all people, even your enemies, and work for their benefit. Don't worry, don't judge, don't ever stop forgiving, and pray to God who rules over all, because God's will is more important than our own. This is the word of the true King, who has been born among us. This is the good news of Christmas. His birth frees us from all the counterfeit dominions of this world. It's refreshing. As the first sign of his authority, the wise men fall to their knees. They bow down to honor him, and from the treasures entrusted to them, they give gold worthy of this infant king. And then they offer incense, for this king is worthy to respond to our prayers. And then they bring the bitter perfume of myrrh, not only because a king like Jesus unsettles the powers on earth, but because this Christ offers life even through his sacrificial death. In the middle of it all, they offer one thing more. Notice what it is. Joy. They are overwhelmed with joy. They bend their knees in joy. All the promises that there is a heaven and a holiness in the heavens are now revealed in this infant king. All the hopes that there truly can be love and fairness on earth are unveiled in this vulnerable child. And he alone has the authority to direct the stars in the sky. So tonight, let the joy break forth like light that shatters darkness. We are not forgotten, nor have we ever been abandoned to the worst of our human impulses. Christ the King has come, and everything can be different now. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his authority will grow continually, and there will be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. Merry Christmas.